Tom Houston. Well, hello there. Welcome. Yeah. Welcome to the Blind Handyman Show 204 is what they tell me this one is. Is that right?
That's right.
That's what they said it was.
Yep.
Statistician Don Shaw said it was.
That's
Don
what
Shaw,
they say.
Don Shaw's in the building with us tonight.
Yeah, all right.
Don Patterson is here,
back from the wilds,
back from the wilds of Colorado.
Is it Colorado or Colorado?
I don't know. Could be either one. Anyway, we're at the Little Ranch House Recording Studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas, and this is the 21st of August of 2007, and as we said, show 204. I don't know why we're doing 204, but we are right here. And it's good to have you with us. The Blind Handyman is who we are. And speaking of Colorado, why would anyone go to Colorado this time of year?
Well, sir, my wife, the warden,
yes,
is a car enthusiast.
Uh-huh.
And we've had several cars of different types.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me. Anyway, she has a... Let me get it right. A Land Rover Discovery 2. It is a 2000 model, model year 2000.
Land Rover Discovery 2.
A Land Rover Discovery 2. And this is a whole, there's a whole cult that follows Range Rover and Land. Range Rover would be the parent company. I think right now they're owned by Ford Motor Company, and uh-huh, most of them, like ours, has a Jaguar, I think, the engine.
I think that's correct.
Anyway, a V8 engine, and they are, you know, hill climbers, mud hogs, mountain climbers. They're four-wheel drive vehicles. Kind of made, if you watch any movies about African safaris, at some point you will encounter a Land Rover or a Range Rover. They made the Discovery one. They make the they used to make the Defender. It was more like a Jeep type. Ours, looks-wise, is like an SUV. Smaller than a Suburban, but bigger than the small. And it's really, I say four-wheel drive, but it's kind of like on-demand four-wheel drive. It knows when it needs it, has the traction. And so we went to Colorado. They were having a Land Rover, Range Rover rally, the National Rally. And if you ever wanted to see 300 vehicles of the same manufacturer of all shape, man, they had some military types that had been sold to the military in some point. I don't know if it was our military. And because our guys buy usually American, so these were, you know, they're British made.
Yeah.
And so...
I think we're friends with the British now.
Yeah, we are. Right. anyway, and...
We got a little hacked at them at once, one time, but...
They have designated trails that you can go with difficulty levels ranging anywhere from, like, what they call a level 3, and I'll get into that in a minute, to a level 10 or something. We drove out there, and, I mean, Emily actually... drove by herself, I mean, because I can't drive, so, I mean, it was 1,000 miles out there and 1,000 miles back, and
yeah.
We participated on a trail. Started out, we went on what they call four-wheeling 101. He said, well, today we're going to, and this was the easy trail, designated easy, but when we got there, he said, you know, today you're going to do some, I'm going to show you to get confidence in your vehicles. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be dangerous. Nobody's going to be afraid. And he said, you're actually going to do something that would be rated as a category 7 or 8 difficulty when
really?
We get through today. And so they explained. And so we climbed some hills that you wouldn't believe. I mean, almost not vertical, but pretty dang close.
Wow.
And we had the car, they call it Camry. I think Cambry or Camry. I have to look up that word. But anyway, the tilt. Or I think in space they call it yaw, pitch and yaw. But anyway, at some times we were leaning sideways to one side of the other at a, you know, 35 degrees. And we climbed hills and went down hills and went through arroyos, they call them, riding on the edges of little gullies. And sometimes we were on four wheels, sometimes we were on three wheels, and sometimes we were on two, like a front left and a rear right. And anyway, we bailed out. The next day, they didn't have any more easy. They canceled one we wanted to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some that actually go around what they call shelf roads, which are just roads on the edge of a cliff.
Wow.
Even the description said that sometimes the ravine floor would be hundreds or even thousands of feet below.
Wow.
And we talked to a person who had gone with us the first day, and then they went on one of these trails the next day, had their children with them, husband and wife and two children, maybe 8 or 9 years old. They had a Range Rover, which is about the best money can buy. I mean, the biggest, it's most expensive. And he said they came to a point, and there was no turning around. How about you
were in for the long haul.
And on the simple trails, you had kind of a guide that was like the tail gunner. You had a guy up front and you had a guy up back, so they made sure everybody stayed together. On these trails, you're just there. You go, they don't come and spot for you. Like, they don't get out of their cars. Like, on our little trail, they would get out and physically walk and tell you, turn left, turn right. You know, on these, they don't. And the guy said they came to a point where there was this rock on the right side, a big rock. All right, and the cliff was on the left side, and the opening where the rock and between the rock and the cliff was not big enough for his car. You had to go over the rock.
Really?
So when you were there, you were leaning to the cliff side. But they convinced everybody, they claimed these vehicles can take 35, 36, 37 degrees.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, Emily and I opted out of it. That day we went to the museum and a couple of antique stores.
Yeah.
But a good time was had. It was really Emily's trip, and I wanted her to have a good time, and so.
She did.
And I'm amazed that I went with her.
I mean,
as far as on the trip.
My phone won't dial, so can you dial the number there? That on that phone? I guess not.
I could.
Huh?
I could.
If I told you the number off the air?
Yes.
I'll just bring up the music and tell you the number and you can dial it.
Okay.
Here we go. Okay, we'll do that next week. That pen won't work, will it?
Okay, were we going to call T.H.?
I was going to call Tom.
I know his number.
You do?
Yeah.
829, you know it?
I got it, yes.
Oh, you know his number?
Yes.
Well, dial him up there on line two, because my line's not working for some reason.
Okay, hold on.
That's a strange problem.
Well, I don't know what the deal is.
Technical difficulty here.
Well,
my gosh.
I don't know how to get to line two.
Where it says line two on the phone, and it probably helped. Let me see it.
See what happens here.
Do that on the base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See on the base where it says line two?
Hey, I'm going to have to move my chair. Yes, I can.
Oh, no. We won't do this.
Yeah.
How do we start over?
There's always next week.
We'll just start over.
Always next week.
We won't. We don't need to do this.
Well, that's right. Okay.
Okay. We don't need to do this. I had no idea that my line wasn't working.
Yeah.
I'll come around and do it while you're reading
list mail time.
Okay.
List mail time.
Well, boy, and our bag runneth over.
That's what I said years ago. But anyway, here we have, let's see, now.
Yeah. Hello.
I just thought I was confused. Go ahead.
Are we ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. This one comes. It says, could someone tell me if it's possible to replace an ice maker that's in a refrigerator?
Sure it is.
It says, if so, would it be possible for a blind person to do it themselves?
Yes.
I need to get another one or I'm not, but I'm not sure if I should get the same kind as, or not, because I want one that makes smaller ice cubes. And see, will I be able to do this, or will I have to get the one like the one that's in the refrigerator, is the gist?
Probably, yes.
I would get the one like in the refrigerator.
But if it's just making small ice cubes, we can probably fix that for you.
Yeah, there should be a setting, actually, maybe, that you could...
Well, there should be a setting where his line stopped, huh?
Yeah, it could
be. Didn't you have a filter one time that was... Seems like I remember this. You had a filter that was stopped up.
That was Don Patterson, probably, with the filter. We had a valve one time that wasn't, it wouldn't activate itself, so it just wasn't filling, or just filling like a tiny bit if it filled.
And so it made small ice cubes.
So it made small ice cubes in that case.
Yeah.
It was the valve.
But actually, the main thing is, yes, a blind person can do it, I think.
Yes.
Either or both of you guys have done it. I've never done it myself, but also pretty much, I don't know if he's talking about, you know, in the older machines, they made these like four ice cubes together, And then now they just make individual ice cubes. But I don't know that you'll... I've never seen one that did, like, cocktail ice cubes.
Not in a refrigerator.
I've seen an ice maker,
but,
you know, ice
standalone
machine.
Standalone ice machine.
But the secret is, the valve problems are which you won't. I mean, that could be part of your, either
could
be the a machine doesn't
valve
work.
Yeah, could be a solenoid. Could be a line stopped up. It could be, you know, if I'd check. But if you're going to replace it, you need to do it with the one that, like, goes in there, because the screws won't fit if you don't.
Yeah, and just line up. And just one thing, that is the one appliance that if it's a recently purchased machine, you know, or icebox, and they'll last for 25. I think Phil just retired one that was 36 or 7.
31 years old.
Yeah. That ice maker at that point was not even hooked up, but, I mean, the refrigerator worked. But if you have the opportunity when you buy it, get the service policy, because they'll come to you, especially if it's Kenmore. I'm not necessarily a Sears fan about a lot of things, but their appliances...
Are good.
And the in-home service is not expensive per se. And if you're going to have a problem with an appliance, trust me, it's usually going to be the ice maker. I mean, that's because if the city turns off the water, do maintenance, they're going to clog up the line, or the solenoid is going to go bad.
Lots of moving parts there in an ice maker and a heating thing.
And there is a heating thing. You don't think about that, but there's a heating thing to make the ice turn loose.
Had one go out one time.
If the little heater thing isn't there, the ice will not come free from you.
Basically, did we answer the guy's question? Don, you've done it. Can a blind guy, could a blind guy?
Oh, yeah.
What did you encounter?
Nothing much. I just take the old one out, unhook the... ours had three screws and a wire harness that plugged in.
And a hose.
About it.
And a hose. So, in other words, you're dealing with a wire that's going to plug in to that receptacle. It's got a. You don't have to do the wiring, wire the plug, and wire
anything.
You just
got to plug something in.
And then your little tube is
Tube is already there, so you didn't have to do anything for that. Now,
slipping
having an existing ice maker helps.
But. Right. Okay, so what this guy needs to do is get the name of the fridge and the serial number, model number, and call that dealer.
I replaced the one in the fridge, the 31-year-old fridge, long years when I was living on Norris Street.
Right.
And I think it was four screws and, like Don said, a little plug and put the hose back on.
Uh-huh.
And it worked fine. I just never could get it to work here for some reason.
And in the dollar value on the new replacement, what would you say?
100 or so.
100 and a half.
100, maybe online, 100. From appliance dealer in town, and 150.
Okay.
175.
Yeah, so you can do it, so do it. And let us call us and let us know.
Yeah,
how
that would be the thing.
Be a
Give
guest
a
on
call.
The show.
Tell
you know?
Us how
That's
you
right.
Okay. Or call us up and tell us how screwed up we were that you wish you'd have never tackled it.
Never tackled that project.
You can do it. Go ahead.
You can do it. Okay. Hello. All right, so it says, all right, here's another one, and I went through this. It's kind of interesting. It says, I would like to modify a TV remote so that only certain buttons could be depressed. My mother is 86 with muscular degeneration, and her new TV remote has a lot of small buttons. She is always getting into menus, etc. I thought about getting a replacement remote and making it so only the on-off volume up, down, the number on the number pad would work. Said I would keep the original, so someone could make requested changes if there was a need for them. Anyway, yes, you can. And there was a response, a little short response, but it's going to be basically the same. You can buy a big button. Remote control, they make big button phones, and they're like for senior citizens or people with low vision. I think some of the low vision aid companies make these, but also
I believe
they're available at Radio Shack.
Yeah, off the shelf, big numbers.
And most of the time, too, what you want is one that just has, it, rather than programming individual buttons, which this you can get one that just does the simple things. It doesn't have all the buttons that you can just, oddly, I had one of these for my mother. I got her the big button phone because she had difficulty dialing the phone, and then I got her the remote. All she had was up and down volume, and she could change the channels and on off.
Yeah.
Because she used to get in such difficulties, you know, at and old folks, you know, bless their souls, they don't understand it. At 10 o'clock at night when you're asleep, you know, I can't get my TV on the channel, Bubba, could you come in?
Yeah.
And so I've been, you know, awakened from a deep sleep many times.
You can probably do it with the remote you have, but it's going to take some sighted assistance to do it. But I would recommend buying the, you know, just go to Walmart and buy the big button one.
Yeah, the big button one, and then the way you program them used to, or I've done it, they all have instructions, but you actually face the two remote controls together. I don't know if they still do that. Maybe they sell them now that have just the basic commands that are universal, but in the old days, you had to find out which TV you had, and you punched in certain codes, i.e. if you had a JVC or a Sony, and you point the actual remote controls toward each other, and you take the program from one to the other. But
Bluetooth.
Yes.
That would be Bluetooth technology of some kind. Go ahead. You got another one?
Yeah. Let's see.
We got 5 minutes or so.
Yeah, we're good.
All right. And we go, I think we did something similar to this, but anyway, we're going to do it again.
All right.
We're talking about, since I know quite some time ago there was some discussion in building a clothesline. I hate to make people repeat themselves, but I'm thinking of putting one in. Thanks for any help.
Well, I don't know what's he wanting to do. Put up a freestanding.
Well, yeah, that was his message. There was a couple of response. I think I did not necessarily get them, but I can kind of paraphrase them. You know, there's several types. One would be the umbrella type that's on a single pole, a stand. A lone pole, and I guess you mount it in the ground with either stakes or spikes, and it comes up, and it has, the thing actually has, well, like an umbrella. What is it, 6 sides or 8 sides?
Yeah.
And there's maybe two or three wires in these sections, so you can kind of spin it around. You could hang your clothes. Not good for, you know, my mother, bless her soul, loved to hang her sheets up. A lot of old-timers did. And so that, I don't think, would be too practical for bed clothes. But that would do like clothes. A lot of people take their clothes out of the dryer before they get completely dry. The women, they don't want to wrinkle their permapress garments, and so they'll hang them up. I mean, I have clothes right now hanging on every closet door in my house because Emily will take her favorite blouses and get them damp dry or near dry and then take them out so they don't wrinkle.
Yeah.
But if you want just a line, you know, you could have, 2-inch pipe welded, find
well,
you a
I've
little...
I've seen T-pipes,
yeah,
and turnbuckles, and all
little,
kind of things.
A little T-pipe and put you 4 brackets, and you could have a 4-line clothesline any length, you know, within
yeah.
reason, 30
well, you know,
feet
but,
long.
But all the Lowe's and Home Depot are going to sell a thing that you would put in the ground that would come up in like a cross. Would have a crossbar at the top.
Yeah.
You would tie 3 clotheslines on and then tie the other ends to your house. And
yeah.
Bingo, you got
clotheslines. Or put up 2 poles where you'd know where they
yeah.
were, where you didn't walk under them. You know, and there's nothing like one time as a
yeah,
child.
No kidding.
As a child, I rode a bicycle under someone's clothesline and almost decapitated myself.
Yeah, that could be a disaster.
Remember when John Sled lived in San Felipe Courts in Houston? Well, you walked down that sidewalk to find his house, and there was a clothesline. Every little place had a clothesline. These were the backyards.
That's right.
And they were just...
I think.
And I hit 2 or 3 of those. I learned to use a cane, kids.
But yeah. Honestly, if you want the clothesline, you know, I would consult and seek help. But if you want to do it yourself, you could do it with, you know, 4x4 and make your T-post. But then you'll have to put the little 45-degree angles, I think, on the wood post, where if you had a little prefab shop, a little fabrication shop, get somebody to weld you some 2-inch pipe.
They make those. I mean, you can go to Lowe's and buy one of those.
I think you can. And so, you know, put it in the ground and put cement around it because, tension might...
Oh, God, the clothes are heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, you got wet clothes are really heavy.
Yeah, so put it in concrete and there you have it.
Yeah, they get one of those augers like you got and dig you a hole.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're going to talk about talking thermostats and thermostats of all kinds in just a few minutes with our guest whose name is Harry and...
Talking thermostats.
From talking
I'm not
thermostats.
Sure.
Houdini.
His last
Harry
name.
Houdini.
Harry Houdini.
Harry, yeah.
Harry, surely we know some other Harrys. But anyway, we'll be back in just a minute with the blind handyman, Don Patterson, Don Sean, and Phil Parr. Hang on.
totally adored you. I would have stuck by you through thick and thin. I would have let you touch my pure understanding skin. I almost fell in love with the man you almost are.
Well, we had some telephone problems that we won't talk about. I don't know what the heck was wrong. One of the telos isn't working, and I know that's of no interest to anyone except me. But we have our guest, Harry Cohen. How are you, sir?
Oh, I am absolutely fine.
You sound absolutely
great.
Fine.
Well,
where are
thank you?
You,
thank you.
Where do you live? I've forgotten.
I'm in Minnesota. Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Minneapolis.
All right.
Home of Garrison Keillor.
Yeah.
He's in St. Paul.
He is in St. Paul. You don't
on the other side of the Mississippi River.
So is there enmity between the Twin Cities? Not really, huh?
Not really, no.
No.
We are the Twin Cities.
You are the Twin Cities.
Who's got the best ball team?
The Minnesota Twins.
No, I said
I'm not partial. Minnesota. Not Minneapolis. Not St. Paul.
Okay.
But just Minnesota at large.
Minnesota at large.
Well, it's been...
And they're not doing too good this year.
Neither are the Astros.
Talk about sad. The Astros just... I mean, just, they're just, you know... I don't know. I keep razor blades around just in case.
They keep saying, wait till next year. I've been waiting 40-something years. You know?
Right.
Yeah. That's right.
Excuse me. I was copping a drink there real quick. I guess it's been, how long has it been since we had you on? About 2 years?
Oh, probably longer than that.
And it's been a while.
I'm going to say closer to three.
And you're still at talkingthermostats.net.com?
.com.
TalkingThermostats.com. TalkingThermostats.com. And if I recall, you are retired from Honeywell, is that right?
Correct.
How about that?
Good memory. Yeah.
Now, were you a salesman, or were you actually a refrigeration man, or what did you do for those folks?
I am an engineer.
Uh-huh.
Design engineering, and then I went in to marketing and sales after that at Honeywell.
Uh-huh.
I spent 23 years there,
uh-huh.
And I left Honeywell in the year 2000,
and
when I was old enough to leave.
And
I retired from there.
And how did you get interested in talking thermostats?
How? Okay. During my time at Honeywell, as a marketing and sales person, I spent quite a bit of time out in the field. And I had people who are blind ask me from time to time, why doesn't Honeywell and or some of the other large companies have a talking thermostat for us?
Uh-huh.
And the standard answer was, I'm sorry to say, they don't feel the market is big enough.
Yeah.
To spend money and come out with a special product.
Right.
And they were right.
Yeah. And after I retired, I was given an ultimatum by my wife. Find something to do or move out of the house.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to move out of the house.
I think I was married to her sister.
So, talking thermostats was always in the back of my mind. And I went out and I searched the world for a talking thermostat product. I found a few, had them analyzed technically by myself. I also had them analyzed by people who are blind.
Uh-huh.
and the two of them fell out right away as not user-friendly. And the third one, the VIP, which I am currently selling, was user-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
It was accessible. And from a technical standpoint, it was a good product.
Uh-huh.
And I've been selling this now for over 4 years.
What information as a blind person does it give you?
What it gives you is there are four push buttons on the front of it.
Okay.
There are also seven other push buttons in back of the door. The buttons in back of the door are not used every day.
Right.
Okay.
So of the four buttons on the front of it, there is a button called Report. And I tell people that is down in the lower left corner.
Okay.
When you press Report, you hear the day, the time, the temperature, and the temperature setting.
Okay.
Okay, that's used every day. Two buttons are used every day, and those are the two buttons for setting your temperature.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Okay, these are in the shape of a half moon or half arrow, whatever you wish to call it. One points up and one points down.
Yeah.
And at the press of the button, every time you press the button, the thermostat will tell you 66, 67, 68, and so on.
And we'd assume that the top one raises it and the bottom one lowers it.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the fourth button is called a help button. When you press the help button, it tells you if you have a problem with your heating or air conditioning system, call your heating air conditioning professional. If you have a question regarding the thermostat or its operation, call talkingthermostats.com, and it gives our phone number.
Well, actually, there are five. You forgot about the button to the right of the up and down buttons that turns the light on so sighted people can see it.
That is okay. Excuse me.
There you go.
That is for the backlight.
Yeah.
And it stays on a few seconds and then turns back off.
Yeah, that's just for sighted people, so we don't even count it. We don't.
There you go.
So, Harry, I was wondering, and I do not have a talking thermostat, but I'm, at some point I will have one, and I would get it from you. But our local, one of our big air conditioning companies that claimed that they sell one. So, basically, what are the goods about yours and the bads about theirs?
Well, they probably sell a model which looks alike. It's the same feel, the same push buttons.
Yeah.
But it is not a fully accessible thermostat for the blind.
Okay.
Okay.
There are two models of this thermostat. One is called the VIP for the visually impaired person.
I gotcha.
Or the very important person.
Okay.
The other model is a VT. That is for the sighted person who wants a talking thermostat.
Or partially sighted person that just needs a little help.
Or partially sighted.
Yeah.
Senior citizen.
It does not
citizen.
Have
senior
all citizen. Of the voice yeah. prompting.
Okay.
Okay.
As the VIP.
In other words, it doesn't ask you if you want instructions.
Say again, please.
It doesn't ask you if you want voice instructions because it doesn't have any.
Right.
Okay.
Well, it has some.
Some.
But
yeah.
Once it asks you and you press the yes button, you have to visually look at the screen.
Okay.
And change it that way.
It just
it will not speak to you.
Yeah, it just doesn't tell you every push of the button is the difference, basically.
Right.
Right.
Many heating contractors will try and sell the model VT to the blind person and tell them it's a talking thermostat.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a talking thermostat, but it's not fully accessible.
Not fully accessible.
Okay, that's great. I mean, I'm glad I talked to you because that the guy wasn't doing a hard sell, but I did ask the question when we had our home built about 3 years ago, and I said, by the way, you know, I have some vision problems. Do you have a talking thermostat? Because that would be the normal question. And, of course, he said yes, and I just assumed one talking thermostat
was as good as the other.
But for you having some eyesight, the other one would work fine.
Would be good.
I've read about
it. Yeah, but except I want to deal with Harry. I mean, goodness.
Yeah.
Our specialty is working with the visually impaired and the person who is blind.
Right.
Yeah, all right. Now, this thermostat that you sell also provides, there's a bunch of buttons inside the door. Do I understand? You said there was
correct.
A door.
On the front of the thermostat, there's a door that opens up. Inside of the door, there are 7 push buttons, actually 8. One push button is a small button. And it's a reset button.
Okay, that you probably have to push with a pencil or a pen or something. Toothpick.
Right.
All right.
It's a very small button. And what that's used for, you can master reset the thermostat back to a factory defaults.
Okay.
By pressing on the reset button and on the no button and hold both of these in for 10 seconds.
Okay.
And then press on the run button. But of the larger 7 push buttons, these are used for setting the day of the week and the time of the day.
Yeah.
And for setting your programmable settings. The thermostat has the feature of being either a manual thermostat or a programmable thermostat.
Okay.
Programmable means you can set up 4 schedules a day. Like when you go to bed, it sets the temperature back. You wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, it'll start to heat the house back up.
Yeah.
You go to work at 8 o'clock, nobody's home, it'll cool the house back down or set the temperature back. You come home at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it'll turn the heat back on.
Yeah, or the air conditioner back on.
Or the air conditioner, either way.
Yeah.
Okay, you can have this program set Monday through Friday, 4 programs a day, or set it for the weekend by pressing on the weekend button and then setting up your 4 schedules.
Okay.
There is another button on here which is called on-off. The on-off button is for turning your program on or off.
Okay, but if you're in a program, pardon me, and you change the temperature, does that override the program?
It will override the program till the next program cycle.
Okay, I got you.
You know, so as an example, in the wintertime, you're cold, you bump it up a couple of degrees. It will stay at that bumped up temperature till the next program cycle.
I got you.
That's an excellent
And then it
feature.
Goes back in to the program mode.
But that's an excellent feature.
It
However,
is.
I have kids that come, and they want to screw with the thermostat all the time. How can I keep them from doing it? I mean, if I got it programmed, I want it to be left alone. I don't want anybody to bump it up.
Okay. The most recent model of the thermostat, the VIP 1007.
Uh-huh.
Has a feature for locking out the keyboard.
There you are, Don.
Actually, all the keys. You can set it and then press 2 keys, and it'll lock out everything.
Oh, that's, man.
And the kid can press all day long, and nothing will happen.
That's for me, boy. But they could think they were doing something, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Great feature.
It's kind of like talking to your wife.
Yeah.
Sort of I'm not going to go there.
Same principle. Pretty much the same principle.
Same idea, huh?
She acts like she hears you, but she really doesn't.
Right.
All right.
All the basic features are the same. You know, in the last 4 years, the basic features have stayed the same.
Yeah.
Okay, for the new model, the VIP 1007, they did put in a keyboard lockout feature.
No one would know it but me, right?
That's right.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's the one you need, all right.
Yeah.
And
there are 2 models, the VIP 1000 series for conventional gas, oil-type furnaces.
Yeah.
And electric air conditioners. And the VIP 2000 series for heat pumps.
Which you would need.
But now, does that have the this lockout feature? Because I do have a
one for heat pumps.
All right.
Yes.
So another, you know, and so I would actually need two of these puppies because I have a heat pump downstairs and then a little 1.5 ton, just a unit for our little. We have a room upstairs.
You would need two thermostats.
Yes, you
okay.
would. All right, Harry. What do these sell for? What do you get for these?
The VIP 1000 series.
Yeah.
For conventional systems,
yeah,
is $129.95 plus $10 shipping and handling.
Okay. Whoa!
Okay, $139.95 for the thermostat.
Yeah,
right.
Okay, good.
The VIP 2000 for heat pump systems has more circuitry in it and relays, and
that more expensive.
Thermostat is $159.50. Plus $10 shipping and handling.
$170.
$169.50 total.
What a deal.
Delivered on your doorstep.
Yeah,
so that'll be $320, Pat. You can write that check.
Yeah. All right. Now, Harry, how many wires? Or did I take my old thermostat off? I'm kind of a do-it-yourself. How many wires am I dealing with your heat pump and then the other one?
Okay. With the conventional one, if it's a heating-only system, then it's only two wires.
But yours isn't. Yours
no,
is
mine is heating and air. One is a conventional, just air heating and air conditioning, a little 1.5 ton. The other one is a heat pump, heating and cooling.
Okay. Heating, cooling would be four wires.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would be your 24-volt coming from the furnace or from the furnace 24-volt transformer.
Yeah.
You would have a wire for your heating relay in the furnace. You would have a wire going to your compressor and the air conditioner.
Right.
And a wire going to the fan.
So
go ahead.
And some common wire, right?
Okay, if they...
No common.
If they have...
No common at all.
If I have a thermostat on there already that just doesn't talk and I replace it, if I just followed their wiring, I would probably be... I mean, in other words, they're going to have enough wires there for this one, right?
Yes. If it's a heating cooling one. All thermostats, all manufacturers have a terminology standard, whereas your wire is attached to screw terminals.
Okay.
Yeah.
And every screw terminal has a letter that is associated with the screw terminal.
Okay.
Like G is your fan, Y is your compressor,
uh-huh.
W is your heating, and either R or RH is your 24-volt from the transformer on the furnace.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, you asked about a heat pump. A heat pump has a couple more wires. One wire is for your backup emergency heat.
Okay.
That would be the second stage of the heat pump thermostat.
Right.
Your heat pump thermostat has a fan. Your heat pump operates off of a compressor.
Right.
Okay. And to either put it in heating or cooling, you change direction of freon.
Okay.
In the system.
Right.
And there's a reversing valve. And that's designated by either a letter B or a letter O. And all depending on your system, you would either hook up the O lead or the B lead. You would still have the 24-volt lead to terminal R. And then W and Y would be jumpered.
Okay.
And that goes to the compressor. It's not rocket science to hook it up.
Did I understand you just a while ago that you said there's a thermostat fan, or did you mean the fan in the unit?
The fan in the unit.
Okay. Not
The thermostat has an output to the fan.
I got you. Okay.
All right, now, but if you looked at the old one and the way it's hooked up, chances are you could hook this one up.
Yeah. You would go as an example, on your old thermostat for a conventional system, you would take the wire that was on terminal G on the old one, put it on terminal G on the new one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Y to Y, a W to W.
And bingo.
And either R or RH to RH on the new one.
Okay.
That makes sense.
That's all.
It does.
Yeah.
All right.
And as far as color coding goes on the wires, don't always go by color coding, because color coding is only as good as the person who installed the wires the first time.
That makes sense. And on some systems, do you need
to... I tell people this.
Yeah.
You know, some of the wires don't match up. As an example, a green wire does not always match up with the G terminal on the thermostat.
Right.
It's only as good as the person who installed the wires.
Okay. Do some systems are on some systems? Do some systems have either three wire, or do you need a short jumper wire on some systems? Some conventional systems.
What? Okay, you are talking about thermostats, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. On some thermostats, there is provisions, or actually two terminals. One is labeled RH, one is labeled RC.
Okay.
RH is for the heating, which takes a power from the 24-volt transformer. RC is for the cooling. In a heating cooling system running off of one transformer, you would add a jumper wire between RH and RC and then pull the power from your furnace transformer.
Okay,
if it's a one transformer.
That jumper is going to be there on the original thermostat that's hooked up, isn't it?
Well, all depends if the thermostat has a jumper. Some thermostats do, some thermostats don't. There is a jumper on the VIP. And the user puts the jumper in themselves.
Yeah.
Or the installer. Okay, because we don't know if it's a one-transformer system or a two-transformer system.
That makes sense.
90%, probably 90-plus percent of the systems utilize a one-transformer system.
Okay.
There again, if my old unit that I was replacing had that jumper, it would have to have it too, right? If I needed it on the new one, the jumper would be there.
That's what I was trying to get to. It would be there, so you'd know to make that leap.
Right.
That jump.
So, Harry, let me ask you this then. The basic, thermostat. You got a VIP laying there, one that doesn't talk. Basically, in yours, you had to put a sound card and a speaker, right? I mean, tell us about what makes this talk.
What kind of voice module or something?
Okay. It's a microprocessor-controlled device. And in the microprocessor and in the memory, there is a speech function in here. Okay. So the digital bits... the ones and the zeros.
Yeah.
Okay. When they go to the screen and put a reading on the screen.
Okay.
There is a converter that feeds the same information to a sound chip.
Right.
And through this information, it puts in the proper bits or turns on the proper circuits in the chip. And a human voice comes out.
So it's got a voice chip.
So it's the same thing as our screen readers of the computer.
Yeah.
Basically,
This model thermostat, the VIP model, has a human recorded voice in it.
Now, that's good.
It is.
Okay, other products on the market have a synthesized
voice.
Voice.
Yeah.
And that's why the VIP sounds so good.
The voice would be excellent, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Whatever is shown on the screen is spoken. And also, something I did not mention is the thermostat is powered off of four AA batteries.
Yeah.
The batteries last approximately 2 years.
Goodness.
Yeah, good battery life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And does it tell you when they're going?
approximately 2 to 3 weeks before the batteries go, and when you press on the report button, which most people do every day to check their temperature.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
It will tell you low battery.
Okay.
You have a couple of weeks to change out the batteries.
Nice feature.
And if you're fast enough when you change the batteries,
you won't lose.
Within a couple of minutes, you will retain all of your time settings and day and so on.
Oh, really?
That was my next question.
What a deal.
If you're fast enough, but you got to have...
If you're fast enough.
Got to have the new batteries there and ready to go.
Right on.
Also, talking about settings, I have a question for you.
Yep.
When you set up for the summer, let's say, and then you go back to the previous winter setting that you had, it can remember between winter and summer settings, can
it? Yes, it can.
That's excellent. That's a great feature.
Oh, no,
okay,
right,
two more items I did not mention in back of the door. I talked about the 7 push buttons and the little reset button.
Yes, you did.
On your current thermostat, you have 2 switches. One is for fan on and auto. The other is for heat off, cool.
Yeah.
I'm making an assumption. Okay, that's common on most thermostats. It's also common on the VIP.
Uh-huh.
If you want your fan to run all the time, you push up on the fan switch. There are 2 vertical switches on the right side of the thermostat.
Vertical meaning up and down switches.
Up and down.
That move up and down.
Right. Okay. You push the fan switch all the way up, which is closest to the push buttons, and your fan runs all the time if you want to circulate air all the time. If you want it to be automatic, you push it all the way down, and automatic means on a call for heating or cooling, the fan turns on.
Okay, now we're getting close to running out of time. You're telling me that if I have this thing on air conditioning and I set a daytime, a weekday, and a weekend program, then if I put it on heat, I need to set different programs, and it will remember, it will know whether it's on heat or cool, and it will use the new programs that I program on heat.
Right. And that is due to the heat-off cool switch. Okay, you can set it in either heating mode, you can turn the thermostat off, or your system off, or all the way down with the switch is in the cool mode. So heat-off cool, and that is on the far right side.
And that's one set of programs. And then if you turn the heat on, that's another set of programs.
Yeah.
And that's great. That's excellent.
So it isn't trying to use the air conditioner programs for heat.
No, no, no. You set up your own cooling program.
Yeah.
And then separate heating programs.
That's great. I like that.
Hey, Tim, I
like that.
That's good.
That
because
is. Yeah.
Nobody, you think you want your house, 72 degrees in the summertime, but if you got it 72 degrees in the wintertime, you couldn't stay in
there.
You
say, damn, that's cold.
I can't. Well, I say that's hot. I can't stand it that hot in the wintertime.
Yeah.
You know.
Where are you located?
We're in Lufkin, Texas, 120 miles north of Houston.
So
we run the air conditioner 9 months out of the year.
Yeah.
I got it.
And I'm in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And we run our heat 9 months out of the year.
I know.
Yeah.
I know up there in Minnesota.
Well,
I know.
Minnesota.
Well,
Minnesota.
Talking about heat, I have a quick question.
All right. Go ahead.
I've heard even if the thermostat is turned off, like if you went away on a quick out-of-town trip and just had your thermostat off, it was in the winter, it got really cold, like below 40 degrees in your house, I heard the thermostat will automatically turn the heating system on and warm up to keep things from freezing.
Right. The thermostat has a backup sensor in it, which is totally separate from the thermostat.
Ah.
It's a bimetal switch, which is set to trigger, or the contact is set to close.
Yeah.
At 40 degrees.
That's great.
If you're gone in the winter and the batteries go dead or the thermostat fails, your house would be maintained at 40 degrees.
At least 40. What are we doing on time, Sean?
We're good. We got a few more minutes.
Our swimming pool pumps have a similar device. You can set the degree that you want. But
Yeah.
But it will come on to keep it from, you know, if it's going to be freezing. Come
sure. One other thing.
All right.
I would like to mention.
Okay.
When we ship this the thermostat, we also ship along a CD.
Uh-huh.
And the CD, by the way, does not come with the VT model. It only comes with the VIP model. And this CD is a set of operating instructions, verbal instructions, and also on the CD is a text file. And the CD starts out with pick up the thermostat in both hands.
Uh-huh.
The rounded side should be in your left hand. From there, it will navigate the user through each and every push button and tell them what the button does and how the thermostat is set up, programmed, day, time, and so on.
Great documentation.
Yep.
Excellent.
So if you put batteries in it, can you sit there in your chair and program before you ever plug it in?
Absolutely you can.
Really?
Yep.
You mount the back plate on the wall, hook up the wires, and after the thermostat is set up, take it over and set it on the back plate.
All right.
And
you can operate it off the wall.
So you can take it off the wall, take it to your chair, sit there and program it where you're not standing up with your hands over your head or your hands up in the air, and
yes,
program it and then put it back.
Yes, sir.
That's pretty cool.
That is. That's an excellent
pretty
feature.
Nifty. $140 for the normal one, $170 for the heat pump one.
Yes, sir.
And how about some contact information, internet address, phone numbers, stuff like
give us
that?
Everything
phone
you
number.
Got. Give us everything you got.
We can be reached at toll-free, 1-800-838-8860. Again, 800-838-8860.
Okay.
You can reach us on the internet. Go to our website at www.talkingthermostats. Make sure there's an S on the end of thermostat.
Yeah.
Plural.com.
Okay.
Talkingthermostats.com.
All right, Harry, are you always looking for new fields to enter?
Yes.
All right. There are a number of visually impaired and or blind folks who have keyboard workstations. Yamaha,
okay.
i.e. General Music, Roland. None of them talk. And there are hundreds of functions that these things will do, and I think it would be, I'm partially sighted and I can kind of get around, but I know there are a lot of really good players or some just homebound. Anyway, you might look into that.
Okay.
You said if it will read on this, if it says it on the screen, your little chip would read it. That would be the neatest thing you could come up with.
You would sell a bunch of them.
Yeah.
The person who does that will sell a lot of keyboards because there are a lot of us who play music, and there are a lot of people who play blind people. We play music. I mean, that's what we do.
Yep. Yep.
A talking keyboard would be really great.
Go look at a Yamaha or a Roland and look at that screen. Most of them now are little, you know, LED. Small mini TVs, really. They're in color and all that. And if it would tell you where you were, it would be a Hummer.
You might go domain talkingkeyboards.com.
.com, yes, sir.
You might domain that tomorrow.
Especially if you could come up with an add-on. Maybe that would, you know, I don't know how that would work. But, I mean, it would be just something to see.
Turn your air conditioner off and on.
That's right.
Don, tell me how much time we have.
We got about 3 minutes
here.
We got about 3 minutes left.
Before we start the theme?
Yep.
Well, we might as well talk to Harry for three minutes.
Yeah, I would think so.
No sense in doing anything else.
We also sell another product.
All right, go.
We have sold a few to people who are blind.
Okay.
What it is a telephone-controlled thermostat. The market we sell into is vacation homes and cabins.
Ah.
Where people can call ahead, call their cabin on the telephone, the thermostat answers.
Yeah.
And they can either raise up the temperature, you know, being up north or in the south, they'll lower the temperature.
Right.
And then when they get there, the place is comfortable.
Yeah.
We have had a few people who are blind purchase this product. I will say it is not a user-friendly product standing in front of it.
For blind
It takes
people.
A sighted person to set it up.
Right.
However, over the telephone, everything is voice prompted.
Well, it have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, you can change the temperature, change some heating to cooling.
Wait a minute, Harry. Why couldn't you put it on the wall, hook it up, and then call it from your house, right there in your house, and set it up?
You have to set it up the first time from the keyboard console.
Visually.
Standing in front of it, visually.
But in other words, he could be sitting in his living room here and program it in this house here.
Once it was set up.
You know. Once it's set up for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, and the password is put into it, and the time is set, and the day is set.
So there's no voice prompt setting it up, in other words.
There is no voice prompts for the setup.
Okay, but once it's set up...
And you call it by phone, then it's all accessible after that.
It's amazing, because we're fixing to build a house down in the country, and we'll have to have one, I guess.
Well, we can get you fixed up.
How much is that little animal?
That is $236.
Write the check out, Phil.
Write that check.
That check.
All right, you write him a check for those two heat pump thermostats, big boy.
No, I just need one heat pump and one little conventional. And I don't even care if the one in the little one talks, because I can turn that sucker off and they can't figure out where.
I bet you hit it, y'all. You ready?
Yeah, it's just close enough, 10 seconds or so, and we'll be a done deal.
We that's our little theme. Listen to that, isn't that cute?
That's good.
Blind school bell ringing there. Well, Harry, we appreciate you, and maybe you'll get a few phone calls or not and give us our commission. I'm sure you'll pass that along to us.
I will pass it along, absolutely.
Sure you will. Listen, good talking to you, and we'll give you a couple of years, and we'll call you back and see what you're doing.
Okay, guys.
Work on the keyboard, Harry.
Okay.
All right, sir. We'll
and I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye.
All right. Very good. TalkingThermostats.com is his address.
Yeah.
What a deal. That's what
great
you need,
guess.
Pat.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it'd be excellent.
All right. I guess we've done another one, even with all our stops and starts here.
We have.
Phone system not working. Telephone's not working. And
nothing like live.
Oh, nothing like live radio.
But we're here. All working order.
We don't want to get too carried away. We're trying to call Houston. We couldn't.
He's not in working order.
Yeah, that's the deal.
Well, he's got me worried. There's nobody there. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, not a good sign.
That's not good.
Maybe he'll be back next week. We'll be back up to full staff. I keep hoping that.
Hamburgers on Friday night, if all of you listeners, y'all want to drop by.
If you're in the area. Phil bought a new gas grill, and we're going to test it out Friday night right here at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive.
So just get on the plane,
right,
get on a bus.
If you can get here, we'll fix you a burger.
We'll feed you.
But let us know before you buy enough of those pre-made patties.
RSVP.
All right, Don Shaw. Thank you, Donald.
All right.
Thanks, Don Patterson.
Yes, sir.
I'm Phil Parr, and I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.